You're listening to Waiting for Change, a State of Opportunity special from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. The tragedy of those five young restaurant workers from Mexico is a stark reminder. You are likely meeting undocumented workers constantly as you go through your day. That waiter who pours your coffee, the young man who cuts your lawn, the woman who does your nails, the farm worker, the construction worker, the list goes on. Teresa Hendricks is with Migrant Legal Aid based in Grand Rapids, where she's director and senior litigator. Teresa, welcome.
Thank you.
We have heard, Teresa, from politicians and elected officials for years now talking about how our immigration system is broken. In your view, what does a broken immigration system mean?
The broken immigration system starts with the undocumented workers that are here in our communities, and they're in every fabric of our society. You can't really go a single day without encountering one of them, although you wouldn't know it because they're living under the radar. They have no path to legalization right now because there is no, as you would imagine, a line that they could sign up for to wait to become legal. They have to have some special category or qualify for some special visa in order to become lawful here. And then on top of that, you have farmers who need workers to come here and harvest the crops so that they don't rot in the fields, and they have a difficult time getting workers to do that. They say that they can't get local folks to do it. So we have U.S.-based people from other countries that want the work and that have to do it under this wink and a nod system where they pretend that they're authorized to work and the employers pretend that they're authorized to hire them just so they can get the crops out.
I love the way you put that, a wink and a nod system. And when we hear national discourse about, quote, illegal immigration, a lot of that is about individuals crossing the border when they shouldn't. But what we don't talk about, or a lot less, are U.S. employers hiring undocumented workers, as you say, relying on them to meet their bottom line. What role do you think American employers play in the number of undocumented workers that we have in this country?
Companies that use labor, particularly low-skilled labor, already have an understanding of how much we need to reform our immigration system because they can't do their work without the immigrant labor. And so they really have to rally around their own political interests to make sure that we can find a path to legalization. They're the first ones that will be able to explain why they hire immigrant labor and why they constantly worried about whether or not their labor force is lawfully present or it's lawfully able to work. So the further out that you get from the situation where the companies are employing that kind of labor, the less understanding you get for the need for immigration reform.
Why do you think that the employer role doesn't get as much attention as the other side of the coin, the people coming here?
It's easier to focus on the immigrant worker having done something wrong by working undocumented. What's less clear is the culpability of the employer, because the employer is not wanting to hire somebody that's undocumented, typically. It's they're forced to because of the market situation. So where our immigration system is broken, it leaves the market, which is the labor supply, ahead of where our regulations are, and they have to continue to do what is necessary in order to get their businesses moving and keep profits coming in. So the employers aren't typically the focus because they can hide behind the I-9 procedure, which is a federal procedure set up for when you're hiring somebody. And the way that it's set up, it's created so that the employer doesn't have to be an expert at examining documents. They just have to accept documents that are, quote, reasonably genuine.
We do hear so much talk about migrant agricultural workers, but give us an idea, Teresa, what parts of our economy are also very reliant on migrant and foreign workers?
You'll find a lot of immigrant workers in the hospitality industries, hotel, restaurants, the construction trades, drywall, carpenter, painting, in factories. You'll find them in landscaping. A lot of the migrants start out harvesting crops, and then as they acclimate and become more integrated into their communities, they will go into other trades and other jobs. And a lot of them actually go into owning businesses and running businesses, cleaning businesses, restaurants, and things of that nature.
And so how would it be different for everyday Americans if these people were not here to do these jobs? I mean, what would our economy look like without them?
Well, that's interesting because there was a movie made called A Day Without a Mexican. It was done in California. And literally business would stop. I mean, we wouldn't have hotel rooms cleaned, you know, to get the next guest in. Our dinners wouldn't come out on time at a restaurant. We wouldn't have the fresh fruit in the supermarkets like we have. It would be nearly impossible to thrive without the immigrant labor here.
We're talking with Teresa Hendricks of Migrant Legal Aid. They're based in Grand Rapids. Give us an idea of what life is like for these workers that we're talking about. What is it like day to day with their legal situation?
We deal with mixed families, meaning that some of the family members are lawfully here and some are not. And it's very trying for the families because a trip to the grocery store for a mixed family could result in absolute tragedy if they are to get pulled over and a police officer starts to ask about immigration status. They can be deported and separated from their families. So we have sometimes a mother from Guatemala, a father from Mexico, both undocumented, and the children are from the United States. And they live in constant fear of that tap on the door where somebody's going to start asking that question. So they have to figure out a way to live under the radar without causing any problems, without drawing any attention to themselves, but able to earn a living and go to school and fit in with society as best they can.
In the immigration debate, Teresa, a lot of the conversation is dominated by migrant and undocumented workers, but there are challenges for high-skilled foreign workers as well. What do you see? In what ways are their experiences related?
Well, the higher-skilled workers would be here on a special visa, an H-1B, for example, and they have their own set of issues that they have to deal with. The employer has to prove that they looked for an American, a U.S. citizen, or authorized worker here in that same skill set and that they couldn't find one.
From engineers to farm workers, we're talking about jobs that could be performed by Americans. Are all of these undocumented workers taking our citizens' jobs?
No. You can ask any employer, whether they're a grower, agricultural employer, or a factory owner, or a hotel or restaurant owner, if they can get local folks to do the jobs and to stick with the jobs. And every single time you will hear that they cannot get local folks to do it. Back in the day, people relied on college kids, you know, during the summer, and that's just not the case anymore.
So truly, if there's an argument that they're taking jobs away from Americans, you're saying no, ask employers and you're going to hear a different story.
That's right. Ask the very people who are doing the hiring if that's the case, and you'll find out that they're not taking any jobs away from any Americans.
This is a complex issue, and there's certainly no silver bullet solution to the problem. But what do you think the priority should be to get us on the path to fixing our broken immigration system?
We had a perfect solution in place, and it got derailed right around the time of 9/11. And it was called the Ag Jobs Bill. And it was a federal bill that was meant to allow the undocumented population working in agriculture to slowly find a path to legalization by working, continuing to work in agriculture over a period of years, up to, you know, 5 or 8 years. And they could earn the way to become legal. That meant that there was no floodgates that would open. People couldn't just come from nowhere and start working in agriculture. And it meant that people that had given their lives to agriculture could find a light at the end of the tunnel and become legal. At the same time, it reduced the bureaucratic burden on growers when they wanted to bring over foreign guest workers under the H-2A program.
And that was derailed and never picked up again after 9/11?
That was never picked up again. And that's very unfortunate because that is the solution. It was a very bipartisan effort, and both sides gave a lot and compromised and got as much as they could. And we really need to bring that back. We need to give agriculture a boost and an ability to allow their workers to legalize.
What could fixing our immigration system mean for our nation?
Well, we have 11 million undocumented workers. Right now, they're all paying into the Social Security Suspense Fund. It's about $50 billion a year that they put into that fund. They're never going to get back out. They're paying taxes using the ITIN numbers, which is the Individual Taxpayer Identification Number. Our government knows that we have undocumented workers. They're taking the money. They're giving them a tax ID number so that they can pay taxes even though they're undocumented. So they have to eventually acknowledge that they're part of our society, they're part of the workforce, and that they're the necessary group to contribute to the ongoing strength of our Social Security system and to other people's future retirement. We need to keep our workforce active and working in order to pay for the retiring people.
Teresa Hendricks is with Migrant Legal Aid. Teresa, we want to thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you, Cynthia.
As they hide in plain sight, working among us and living alongside us, yet fearing the traffic stop or the tip-off that could tear their families apart, there is much these undocumented workers want to say to us if they had the chance. Meet Blanca. She grew up poor in Argentina and came to the U.S. in search of work when she was 17. She's now 30, lives in West Michigan, and is the mother of four children. Since coming here, she's worked on farms, cleaned homes and offices, and worked in sales.
When I first came to the United States, I had to work picking strawberries, picking apples. We worked long hours. We worked heavy loads. And there was still no sadness, no anger in the fields. We were happy just because we are able to work. We are not here to steal anyone's jobs. We are not here to get Medicaid, food stamps, you know, cash assistance, any assistance that others are entitled to as being an American citizen. We are not here to freeload off of the United States. We are simply here to live, have that American dream, have our children have the education that in other countries they would not be able to have. I'm able to work illegally. I do pay my taxes, but at the end of the year, I do not get my taxes given back to me. I live scared because of the police officers. If you are going 5 over the limit of the speed, they'll pull you over. If you have a busted tail light, they can pull you over. Or if the license plates are out, they can pull you over. And by not being able to have a driver's license in Michigan, they can arrest you for not having a driver's license. And then take me to jail, and then by that going to jail, they'll run my name, run my papers, and then I'm going back to Argentina where I'll leave my 4 little boys all by themselves here. So I have 4 children. My 2-year-old was born preemie, and he is on the liver transplant list. So if I leave, if I get deported, a lot of Americans say, well, you can take your children back with you. But in a country where we don't have the freedom of insurance, we don't have good medical techniques, we don't have anything that are stability for a child who is on a transplant list, he would not have a fighting chance if we had to go back to Argentina. Having a green card to me would be a stability of knowing that I'm not going to be scared of if I get pulled over by a police officer for not having a seatbelt, or if I'm having to call the police for a civil matter, such as them come to my house for a fire, or if I need medical assistance. Having that well-being of knowing that they're not going to ask me about, do you have a green card? Do you have legal status? And to be able to fulfill my life here in the United States, to further my education, have the right to legally vote for our presidents, for our city council, for congressmen, and what have you. They make it so hard for immigrants to have a permission, you know, their papers to come here and work. But yet, how do they expect us to do it legally when it's so hard? It's jumping through hoops, jumping through fire, just to even do things the legal way. I had to take matters into my own hands, yes. If I could do it the other way, I wish I could, but if I had to do it again, with the way things are now, I would still have to come here illegally.
Coming up next, it's not only restaurant owners and farmers relying on foreign-born workers. CEOs are looking overseas for workers to fill high-skilled STEM jobs.
And that's what America is known for. We are the land of immigrants. And so we brought the best and the brightest to work on these areas and to rev up the economies.
You're listening to Waiting for Change, a State of Opportunity special from Michigan Radio.